A reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you realize that we will be judged more strictly. For we all fall short in many respects. If anyone does not fall short in speech, he is perfect, able to bridle his whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide their whole bodies. It is the same with ships. Even though they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot's inclination wishes. In the same way, the tongue is a small member, and yet it has great pretensions. Consider how a small fire can set a huge forest ablaze. The tongue is also a fire. It exists among our members as a world of malice, defiling the whole body and setting the entire course of our lives on fire, itself set on fire by Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by the human species. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. This need not be so, my brothers and sisters. This need not be so. The word of the Lord. In the past several days, we have been hearing from James, and we see how very practical he is and down to earth. He's not one to mince words, and today he gives those who sin with their tongue a real tongue lashing. What he says is so true. A person's words have a frightening power for good or evil. They're not merely noise or hot air, but it is by one's words that a person acts and expresses himself or herself, whether they are words of love, devotion, attachment, or words of lovelessness, betrayal, mockery, or hatred. God's divine being and will are revealed to us in His Word, which effects what it proclaims. And our human words express the feelings and desires of the one who speaks. In a sense, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, our words have power like God's words. They bring about what they signify. And this is why the person's tongue is the most powerful of all the members of the body. And James tells us that anyone who succeeds in subjecting the tongue to God's law has subjected one's entire being, because our words express the reality of our being. One of the dangers of the tongue is that it can damage at a distance. Before the internet, something could be said on the West Coast and could harm a person on the East Coast, but it would take a week or so before they might hear about it. Now it takes only a few seconds for something to travel all the way around the world. So we have to be even more careful of what we say. The Jewish rabbis had a picture explanation for this. They said, life and death are in the hand of the tongue. But does the tongue have a hand? No, but as the hand kills, so does the tongue. The hand kills only at close quarters, but the tongue is like an arrow because it kills at a distance. An arrow kills at 40 or 50 paces, But the tongue goes over the whole world and reaches to heaven. And this saying is thousands of years old. Using that same imagery as the tongue and the hand, we can ward off a blow with our hand because the striker has to be right there present in front of us. But someone can say a malicious word or repeat a scandalous and untrue story about someone else that he doesn't even know that lives hundreds of miles away and cause untold damage and harm. The very range of the tongue makes it its greatest peril. And I must confess that I myself have been a perpetrator of this and a victim as well, and I'm sure many of you can say the same thing. Another proverb says, three things come not back, the spent arrow, the spoken word, and the lost opportunity. Once a word is spoken, there's no getting it back. There's nothing so impossible to kill as a rumor. And although we cannot get it back, we must certainly answer for it. St. James tells us that no one can tame the tongue. Augustine refers to this in his book on nature and grace when he says, James does not say that no one can tame the tongue, but no human being can tame the tongue. We declare that only by the mercy of God, with the help of God, and by the grace of God, can the tongue be mastered. There's another saying in the rabbis that's also very similar to James. In Rabbi Tonkham, we read, the mouth desires to study the law and to speak good words, to praise God, to glorify Him, and to celebrate Him with hymns. But it can also slander, blaspheme, and reproach and swear falsely. Again, this is reminiscent of the ending of James' reading today about how the tongue can curse or bless. And this is what is so terrible about the tongue. It's not that it's always evil, or that it even has to be do evil things, but that it can also do wondrous, wonderful things. And the blessing of God is a very prominent part of Jewish devotion, and would have been so for James and Jesus. This activity of blessing, in which we praise and honor God, is cited by James as the highest, purest, and most noble form of speech. And the lowest, filthiest, most ignoble form of speech is then cursing. For to curse someone is not just to swear at them. It is to desire that they be cut off from God and experience eternal judgment and punishment. Again, like Jesus, James sees that a person's speech is a barometer of his spirituality. For out of the mouth, the heart is revealed. I would wager that few of us confess sins of the tongue. Yet, to be honest, as I said, I have been both a victim and a perpetrator of this destructive act. And I need to repent of it. And so one of the New Year's resolutions I've made, and I'm still working on it in February, is to curb that instrument, that weapon, that tool for praising God, too. And how do we bridle ourselves? James tells us it's like putting a bit in a horse's mouth. To bridle the tongue means to change our heart, to change our behavior. Because, as I've said, our speech flows from our heart and mind. Our words reveal our character and what kind of person we really are. In our society of gossip and true confession and instant everything, I'm going to work, and I hope you join me, on developing the virtue of discretion, of being careful about what I say or what I repeat. One friend suggested something that she tries to do, and that's if something is told to her about an event or a person, she considers it in just with one person. She considers it confidential unless she's told otherwise. Speech can be helpful. The Arab Spring that we've seen taking place in the Middle East has been so influential because of texting and the digital social media. But as Pope Benedict XVI recently pointed out, true and wise communication begins in silence. For words to be upbuilding, they must be born in a silent heart, open to God's guidance. And as we hear at the Word, are intense upon delving into the deepest mysteries of the Word, it calls for us to have a silent, wise, and discerning heart before we speak. Amen.